Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Are Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out will remind every student that they were made for more simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes, or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help with that. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Today on the podcast, I am interviewing author, blogger, lover of truth, Courtney Wilson. Courtney is passionate about sharing the truth about identity as it's rooted in scripture, and she is so good at what she does, guys. She's a 20-something millennial who is living in Birmingham, Alabama. Actually, she's getting ready to move. We'll talk about that a little bit and how God has called her away from there, but she is passionate about developing the dreams of this generation to help people live out their God-given purpose. I love her heart in that. And she's also a self-starter and founded the Trailblazer Journals, which is an online community where they believe that our generation is called to be trailblazers. And I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that during our conversation. She has founded the Little Creative Company, which is a small design agency dedicated to help nonprofits and Christian organizations develop their brands, websites, and dreams, which is so cool. As if that wasn't enough, Courtney also authored the book It Is Written, Daily Truth to Face the Lies We Battle. In this book, Courtney focuses on how Jesus combated the enemy's tricks and how he used God's word as a weapon to overcome temptation. And she tells us how we can practically apply those in our own lives to fight the lies that we face from the devil on a daily basis. I really hope that you prune something from my conversation with Court Wilson and that you learn as much as I did from her. All right, Courtney, thank you so much for joining us on the You Are Made for More podcast. This is actually our first time, like, actually talking. We've been emailing back and forth and DMing and stuff like that. And I know a little bit about who you are just from social media and all of that stuff. And I've read your book, but I want you to give our listeners kind of a Spark Notes version of who you are, what you're about, what you do day to day. What is your current season of life looking like?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be on the show. It's such an honor. My current season of life. So I'm currently 27. I currently live in Birmingham, Alabama, but I am about to move to Cincinnati, Ohio. So depending on when this episode goes live, I may already be in Cincinnati. My current season, I have a huge heart for ministry and for just helping our generation be trailblazers right where they are. I believe there's just something so special about our generation, millennials and even Gen Z. I mean, we're a huge generation, and I don't think that's by mistake. And I think that God's called us to make a difference in our world. And so I have a huge heart for that, helping people discover their God-given purpose and just live that out. And I also have just a huge heart for overcoming lies, which is why I wrote the book that I wrote called It Is Written, and really just making sure that we're informed and know that there's different lies we face and there's a way to overcome that, and it's through scripture. I work a full-time job. I'm a marketing content strategist for a financial institution, and I'll be keeping my job whenever I move. I'll be working from home. So If anybody has any tips on working from home, send them my way.
I actually work from home part of the time. So my biggest tip is put real pants on every day because it like forces you to be a real person.
Nice. Yes. That's a really great tip. But yeah, so I currently kind of just wear a lot of hats. I have a huge passion for making a difference online. I believe that even though social media can be this like comparison fueling like negative thing at times, I believe it's also a space where we can reach more people and actually make a difference. So I love meeting people online and blogging and all of that kind of stuff. And then I also love that I get to be in the corporate world where I can make a difference there as well. That's kind of me in a nutshell.
You do like everything. That's amazing. You wear so many. Do you sleep? That's the real question. Yes. When do you sleep?
Probably too much at times, but yeah. I'm working on resting more.
It's preach. We all need to do that, I feel like, for sure. Yeah, I just love your story. So you're from Birmingham. You have a huge heart for college ministry, I think, right? From what I've seen on your Instagram and stuff like that, which is awesome. I think that our message on the You Were Made for More podcast is really similar to what you're putting out from your social media, your voice, your platform, all of that stuff. So I just want to start by asking you your story. Like, how did you come to know Jesus? Did you always know him? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in church. I grew up in an Assembly of God church. So a lot of, you know, Holy Ghost, like Pentecost, all that kind of stuff. But for me growing up, like, unfortunately, it was more like a religious thing where I knew of God, but I didn't have that personal relationship. And even though I was around a lot of it felt more like theatrics at times. And so I never really understood until the end of college what it truly meant to have an actual relationship with Jesus. And unfortunately, some things happened in high school that led me to kind of walk away from my faith for a good 7 years or so until the end of college, where I just had some things happen where I mistrusted some people in the church who just did some things they shouldn't have done. And so it caused me to walk away for a while from the church until someone at the end of college invited me to a college service to the church that I still attend to this day. And it was just night and day walking into my current church, into the college service, where all of a sudden, like, these people were real people and they had joy on their faces. And it was just something so different about the atmosphere. And it wasn't just, I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel condemned for my past. And I messed up a lot in high school and college because I just decided to go try things on my own, you know? So yeah, at the end of college, I got involved in church. I ended up moving to Birmingham where I was at school at the University of Alabama and moved to Birmingham. And so the church I go to had locations in both places. It's called Church of the Highlands. And so I moved here and got involved and got on what we call a growth track. So I got to discover my purpose through the program we had at our church. And that was what really started making a difference for me. And then I went to our student conference the next year. Even though I wasn't a student, I got to serve at it. And I heard Christine Kane speaking, and just something in her message like clicked with me. And I just felt called to ministry at that time and just knew that, okay, maybe God has more for me. Maybe all this stuff I went through is not for nothing. It's to make a difference and to help somebody younger than me not have to go through that same thing. Or if they do go through it, to know they're not alone and that God still loves them and that, you know, we can walk through it together. Whereas like when I was that age, I didn't really have someone to walk me through those things. And so I just kept falling for the different lies that culture was throwing at me. So that's really how I came to know God, and just still on that journey of figuring out all the things he's called me to and just continually walking in faith and growing. And it's just been such a cool journey. Just, I was talking to a friend the other day, just seeing like where all of us, we all met in small groups about four or 5 years ago. And it's just cool to see like where we were when we were like 23, 24, and now all of us are like 27, 28, and just seeing how much God's done in such a short period of time. It's just been really cool just to see him pretty much redeemed just every single thing from before to now. That's really neat.
Wow, that's awesome. It sounds like when I was listening to you, it sounds like identity was like a huge thing for you, which I also get. That's been a huge part of my testimony. Did you struggle with identity? Did meeting Jesus kind of change and transform your outlook on who you were at all? Just talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So identity, it's always been a huge thing with me. And I've always been kind of like a people pleaser. And for any Enneagram fans, I'm a type one on the Enneagram. So like the perfectionist. So like I unfortunately really care what people think about me. And it's something that God's really worked out of me over the last few years. So now comments don't bother me as much as they used to. But yeah, I mean, even in high school, it was huge for me to be liked and want to be liked and struggle with that. And so I kind of just followed the crowd of like, you know, I got called goody two shoes. And so I was like, well, I'm not a goody two shoes. Like I want to hang out with the cool kids and stuff like that in high school. And just kind of fell into those identity traps of not really knowing who I was in God. And so I just kind of let the world tell me who I was. And so that was a huge journey for me of figuring out exactly who I am, who God says I am, and like finding strength in that and finding strength in who God says that I am and being confident of that. And the lie that I face probably the most, and I still will face it at times, is the lie around identity of either I'm not good enough or I'm too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like there's really no middle ground there, you know? And so it's really difficult whenever you feel like you're too much for somebody because you feel intimidating, or you feel like, oh my gosh, I have to lower myself for somebody else. Or if you feel like you're not enough, you feel like you're always striving. And so before I really had a personal relationship with God, I think a lot of times our identity comes from how we also see God's identity. They kind of tie hand in hand. And so for me, I saw God as this like Zeus kind of character when I was in high school of if I did something wrong, he was just going to strike me down or a bad thing would happen to me. So that's when I was just like, well, you know what? If this is what it's like, I'm walking away. And so I just tried to figure out who I was outside of God. And we just, that doesn't work because like he made us, and like that missing piece that everyone feels in their life, it's because that missing piece is God. And so once I realized that he was the missing piece that I was truly seeking after in all these things, whether it was boys or going to parties or, you know, college classes or achieving in school and being the best student, I realized like none of that would fulfill me. Only God would fulfill me. And that's really how I like kind of solved that identity crisis, you know, of figuring out who I am in Christ. And that's what really led me to like make some changes and really grow. And growing's painful, but it's definitely worth it.
Oh, preach. So good. Yeah. I so relate to a lot. I'm a two on the Enneagram, but I have a one wing. So
two wing.
Okay. Perfect. We're like soul sisters then. No, but I like the perfectionist thing, the people, like that is totally a part of who I am. And I think that the more we talk about those things, you know, like when I was growing up, I just thought that's how it was always going to be for me. Like that's how the world is. Like I'm constantly going to be striving, you know, but I love that you talked about how our view of God and our identity in him, it really does impact our, what we think about ourselves, you know? So you mentioned in your introduction the word trailblazer, and I know that that like has a specific piece of your heart. Tell me what that word means to you. And I know you founded Trailblazer Journal. So talk to me about that. Like what got you going on that? What does that word mean to you?
So I have a blog called the Trailblazer Journals, and it's turned into more of an online ministry over the last like couple of years. And I've recently kind of just taken a step back to even rethink it further than that. So there's a lot more coming this year with it. But yeah, so I've had a blog since college, and before I like knew Jesus, it was really just a blog for my thoughts because I really wanted to be in like writing and editorial and that type of thing. And I even worked at a publishing magazine publishing house like right out of college. And then once I knew God, I was like, man, I really feel like I can make a difference with my words through this. And so it started off as just like a personal blog before I named it to the Trailblazer Journals. And then I was going on this mission trip to, it was supposed to be to New York City, but we ended up, it was in March of a couple years ago, and there was a blizzard, and so we never made it to New York, and they ended up letting us attend this like missions class here in town before they rerouted us to Nashville to work with some refugees there. And so this class was like a missions class, and there was a speaker who was there from Nepal, and he just kept talking about being pioneers of faith. And that just really stuck out to me. And so that word pioneer stuck out to me first. And then I was like, well, like when I think of pioneers, I think of like the Oregon Trail. So like, what's a synonym? Like the video game, you know?
How can I make this cooler?
Yeah. I was like, how can this word like be a little bit, you know, better? And so I just looked up, you know, synonyms of pioneer, and trailblazer just stuck off the page to me. And I've always loved that verse in Esther. And I don't remember the exact verse, but it's where basically it says like you were made for such a time as this. And then the verse in the New Testament talking about Jesus being the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like we're called to be that. We're called to be pioneers of our faith and trailblazers. And so because I had such a heart for making a difference and our purpose here on earth, knowing that we are each here for a specific reason and purpose. And like, there's so many people that have told me, they're like, I don't know, like, what I'm supposed to do, or I don't know what I'm gifted with. And I like have such a heart for that, and just realizing like, hey, maybe like it's not so bad that I'm this big dreamer and I love to dream and help people with that. Like, maybe it's something I can use to help other people with discovering their purpose. And I know so many people talk about that these days. But I truly believe that all of us were made for a reason. And, you know, one of the biggest things for me is like part of my testimony is my birth wasn't planned. My mom has a small pituitary gland tumor and she wasn't supposed to be able to have kids. So I was kind of a surprise whenever she found out she was pregnant with me.
Wow.
And she was on all this medicine to help with the tumor, and found out later on, like once she was pregnant with me, that like she had been on this medicine for about 4 months, and comes to find out the doctors were like, okay, it'll be a miracle if your child comes out okay. Like,
wow.
And so I came out and I was perfectly fine. I was 10 pounds, 6 ounces. So I was a little bit big.
Bless your mom for carrying you.
Oh, yeah. She had a C-section. But, yeah, so that was, like, a big lie that I faced was identity, was that I was a mistake or I wasn't supposed to be here kind of thing because I wasn't planned. And I know there's so many other people with that story or similar stories. And so for me, like, helping others realize, like, hey, you are here on purpose and you can be a trailblazer right where you are, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're a blogger or whether you're in the corporate world, like whatever role you play in the world, like there's purpose for it. And so that's really where my heart for that came. And that's how it kind of morphed from just the blog where I wrote into more of like this online ministry of like helping other women feel empowered and encouraged in their calling.
I love that. Yeah, you're such a gifted writer. Like, I have read your stuff, really good. The thing I love about it is that you really do root everything in scripture, which is so good, because I think if we don't have that, it's really hard, like, in the moment when you're experiencing insecurity, fear, doubt, and the lies coming at you, like, it's really hard to know how to combat that, you know, and Satan, again, I love that part of your story because he takes something that God intends to be a miracle and a gift, like your mom not supposed to be able to have kids, and that's a miracle, and he takes it and twists it into this lie that is rooted in our souls, that is telling us we weren't supposed to be here and that we don't have a purpose. And that's how he works. And it's scary that for me, to meet people who go their whole lives, you know, with actually believing that when God's word is right there for them to look at and to find the truth in. And that brings me to your book, which is amazing. The title of it, I'm going to link all of your stuff in the show notes, but the title of your book is It Is Written. And It's really good. That's the main reason I asked you to come on this podcast, is because I want you to kind of share with us why you wrote it, what the process was like for you. Did you experience your own healing in writing it? Like walk me from the beginning. Like, how did it start? And then how do you feel about it today?
So it's so important for me to root everything back in scripture, just because it's the ultimate truth. And there's so many voices out there today. There's so many people who are telling everybody to go every which way. But if we're not turning it back to the word, then sometimes it can fall short, or it can be a false promise. And so I always want to point people back to the word. And that was even my hope with this book, was not just to write another devotional, but to make sure it's really rooted in scripture, so that people are encouraged to go back to the Bible. Because I feel like in today's world, we live in this like fast and furious, you know, world where everything's just a snippet nowadays, and our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. And it's hard. I feel like for our generation, it gets harder and harder to get in the word. And it was a struggle for me as well, because whenever I was coming out of college as a new believer, like, I remember growing up, it would be like that turn and flip and point, and like, okay, is this the scripture I'm supposed to read? Like, and so I never really had that connection with God's word. And I would always ask, I'm like, well, how do I know God's voice? And people kept saying, well, read his word. That's how you learn his voice, is read his word. And I was like, okay. And so I'd find myself just Googling scriptures, like, okay, God, like, I need a scripture for love. And so I'd be like, okay, Google, like, what's scripture for love? And so I kept like doing this, and where I would Google scriptures for whatever I was feeling. And I remember going through this small group at my church several years ago before the idea of the book came to me. And it was a small group we call Freedom, and it basically leads you through overcoming things in your past to walk in freedom. And so for me, I was like, okay, that small group really taught me how to use God's word as a weapon, and I wanted to help others with that. And when I was at Motion Conference, the conference I was talking about earlier, that's where I really felt called to speak and write, and I was terrified. And I've always loved writing, and I was like, okay, God, like, it'd be really cool if I could, like, write a book someday. And, like, even when I was younger, like, I was in this class in elementary school where we wrote, like, a kid's book and stuff. So I've always loved writing. And so the book idea got planted in my heart, and I was thinking of the scripture in Matthew, basically where Jesus is in the wilderness, and he had just come out, he got baptized, and he goes into the wilderness for 40 days and nights. And basically at the end of his fast, Satan comes to tempt him with different lies. And some of the lies are actually him, like, Satan repeating like scripture, but in a twisted way. And Jesus always replies with, "It is written." And he quotes scripture. And so even whenever Satan tries to say, you know, well, it's also written this, then Jesus says, no, but it's also written, do not come against the Lord your God and stuff like that. And that's not the exact quote. But basically, if you go and read Matthew 4:1-11, that's where really the idea of this book was birthed for me, and realizing that if Jesus used scripture to overcome the lies of the enemy, then, like, how much more should we use scripture to overcome the lies? And scripture is so much more powerful than we realize, because it's even said, like, in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And it's one thing if we just take scripture at the surface, but one example I love to tell people is, like, if you think about soldiers and they go into the army and they have weapons, they don't know right away how to use those weapons. But the more they use them and train with them, all of a sudden when they get into a battle situation, it just becomes second nature. They don't have to think, oh my gosh, how do I use this weapon? They automatically know, okay, just point and go. Like, they know how to combat it. And so that's the same with us. If we have the word so ingrained in us, then whenever a lie comes at us or a tough situation comes, we can automatically draw from that deep within our souls and know, like, hey, God's got this, and this is what scripture says. So when that lie faces us, we don't have to think twice about it. And it's going to get easier each time the battle comes. And so the book really was a journey for me of figuring out, okay, God, I know this is what your word says, but is it true for me? Like, can I trust your word? And so everything in the book is something that I've walked through myself. And that's why I really wanted to categorize it the way I did. It's devotional style, but it's 10 chapters, and each of the chapters are a different set of like feelings. And so for me, it's the different things that I walked through, and that I just recognized that, hey, I'm not the only one walking through this. And the different chapters are like identity or calling or depression, anxiety or insecurity, or even like finances and stuff like that. And so each of them have, within the chapters, there's a verse, a devotional, and then a place for you to journal. And there's several scriptures within each chapter, to be kind of like a devotional. And so really that was my heart behind the book. It got planted in my mind about probably 3 or 4 years ago when I was like praying about, hey God, like, what am I called to do? And it kept coming up and kept coming up. I kept seeing a need for it. And then, I guess 2 years ago, I released the book last year. So the fall before that I released the book, I was getting coffee with one of my friends, and, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what to do. I just feel kind of lost right now. Like, I'm not sure what my next steps are, because like, I've been leading small groups, but I really have a heart to write a book, but I don't feel like I can write one right now. Like, my friend was like, well, do the last thing God told you to do. What was that? I was like, write a book. And so I was like, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then my mentor had actually written her own small group curriculum and self-published through Amazon. And so she had told me all about it. And I was like, okay, there's really no risk here. It doesn't cost anything for me to do this. So what am I waiting for? So I just started like praying through it and writing it all out, and found some friends who were really great at editing, since I had known some people with, you know, publishing backgrounds and stuff like that, and English backgrounds, and really just all kind of fell together, and ended up releasing it last year. And just the stories that have come out of the book release and people finding the book have just been, I mean, it's only God that could do it, and just the impact it's made, and just knowing that like my obedience in it has really made all the difference in what God's done, because like I was obedient and it helped other people be able to find freedom from the own lies that they were facing. And God's just been able to help so many people through the words that he inspired me to write. So it's just been really neat.
That's so good. Yeah. I love the style of your book, because it's so practical. And the one thing you said in that little snapshot of what it is written is about is that the more we do it, the more we fight, the more aware we become, just like soldiers and in battle, like it is a habitual thing to fight lies in our lives, and they don't go away. Like, I have older mentors than me who are in a completely different season of life, but they've conquered one lie that Satan has spoken to them, and then another one comes, you know? So it is a battle, like, the whole time we are on this earth, it's a battle. So it's really, I just love that you set it up like that to kind of give people the tools to do that. What was your favorite chapter to write in the book, and why?
So I feel like my favorite chapter is probably also the hardest chapter to write, which was really two chapters. The chapter one on identity, calling, belonging, and purpose was really hard to write, just because I faced so much with identity. And then probably insecurity, shame, and comparison, which is chapter six, was also difficult to write. And so those were, I guess, my favorite to write, just because I know how much I overcame in those areas in order to put those words on paper. And so, yeah, those were probably my favorite / hardest to write.
I feel like everyone I ask that question, that's what they say. They're like, the best chapter, like the one I learned the most from, was the most difficult.
Yeah.
But I love that, because again, that shows that like God is in the business of pruning things from us, you know, and that he, like, I just love that message. So you have equipped other people through this book to kind of set up that daily time to reflect on lies and to get God's word into their system. What are some practical things that you do and that work for you? And you know, maybe they'll work for someone else. Because I think, like, I try things and then I listen to a podcast and I'm like, oh, I need to try that because this isn't working for me anymore. So tell me what daily habits you've committed to that have really, like, helped you in that journey of healing from lies.
Yeah. So for me, like, I always have, our church has a 1-year Bible, like, thing through the app for our church, but I know YouVersion has, like, similar things. So if nothing else, I at least make sure, like, I do my, like, 15 minutes, which is, like, 5 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of the word, and 5 minutes of prayer, if nothing else. Like, if I'm, like, a really busy day or something, that's something that, like, our church has taught us practically. Like, if nothing else, your first 15 minutes, like, spend it with God, and you can just break it down like that. And that's just, you know, to get you started. Obviously, over time, like, you want to spend more and more time with God. But if you're in a rush or, like, you're just having a rough morning or something, you at least can have that and know that you at least were able to read something. And it's not so much about, like, oh, my gosh, I have to do this to check it off my list. It's just, you know, what are you feeding yourself with first thing in the morning? Is it Instagram, which I'm guilty of? But
yes.
Or is it the word, which, you know, I notice in my own life, like, if I play worship music in the morning while I'm getting ready and I've had my, like, you know, at least a few scriptures to chew on for the day, like, my day is so much better than if I, like, wake up, scroll on Instagram for a second, play some other kind of music or whatever. Like, it just is a whole different rhythm. So that's, like, one thing I would recommend to people. Another thing too, like, if you're, like, in the thick of it and you're, like, just in a really tough season right now and you're like, Courtney, like, there's no way I can't even, like, I don't even know where to turn in my Bible. Then I would do what I used to do and, like, Google scriptures for whatever that thing is you're facing, like, and put them on post-it notes where you can see them, whether it's in your car or on your mirror or, like, wherever you, like, frequent, like, on your desk at work. Just something so that it's there when you need it. I know for me, like, when I've gone through seasons of really needing to trust God or wondering, like, you know, it's funny because my middle name is Hope, but I've struggled a lot with, like, hope in different areas and stuff, especially, like, hope in the waiting, like, with the move that I'm about to make to Cincinnati where I grew up. It was hard because, like, I knew that I was supposed to go back there and I knew that God had called me there, but there was a long time where it wasn't working out how I thought it would. And I had to put all my trust and hope in God. So I just kept clinging to verses about hope and trust. So that's another practical way whenever you're just like, I just can't right now. Like, you can at least Google a scripture about whatever it's you're facing, whether it's depression or anxiety. Or maybe it's like a financial struggle. Like, you can just post up a few of those scriptures on post-it notes or even, like, find a phone background with it or download the app called WordSwag and, like, make a phone background for yourself. It just adds text to a picture and you can make it your phone screen. So every time you click on your phone, you see that verse. And then, like, just another practical Bible study tip that I use is, it's called the SOAP method. A lot of people use it, but it stands for, like, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And it's just, it's not about, like, how much scripture you can read. It's about, like, really ingraining just even that one scripture. So even if it's just one or two verses that you really chew on for the day and really fully understand, I know that, like, it's much better to understand something than just to digest it quickly. You know, if you think about, like, when you're eating that piece of cake, like, you enjoy it so much more if you, like, take your time with it and you enjoy the cake versus just scarfing it down really quick and all of a sudden it's gone. So those are just a few practical things that I would recommend. And sometimes, like, it's good to switch up your routine. If you are having a hard time doing it first thing in the morning, like, at least maybe get one verse in the morning and then, like, really go deep in the evening or something like that. But sometimes when we get routine with everything, it becomes legalistic and then we get mundane with it and then we don't enjoy it. So it's fun to just kind of shake things up, find different devotionals to read, find different, like, if one translation isn't quite working for you, then maybe compare translations and see what it says across translations and just find ways to kind of, like, make it fun. Cause I don't think God ever intended the Bible to be boring for us. I think he intended it to be a conversation with him and invite him into it. That's the thing I probably should have said first, is ask the Holy Spirit to like speak to you through the word, and ask God to speak to you through the word, and just see like what he reveals to you. And if something like jumps out at you, there's probably a reason for it, and you should like journal and write it down. So I hope
so many good things. So many good things. I think, I love the sticky note method, post-it note method. Like, I, for some reason, had never done that before. And I was interviewing a woman, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, and she's like so wise, has overcome. Her story is so cool and has a lot of trauma in her past. And she was like, yeah, they were like all over my bathroom mirror. And I just got married 2 months ago. And since that point, like, Satan, I have noticed, has been really like just poking at insecurities that I have had. And like, I was able to ignore even when I was engaged. And now when you're married, it's like, oh no, you can't ignore those. So they, for some reason, I think I had this like false belief that those things would be made better by marriage. And I think they've come out more so. And, so I did the sticky note thing for the first time ever. And it's so encouraging to me to like wake up, go to the bathroom, get ready, start getting ready. And like, those are the first things that I see, you know. And I'm thankful too. Like, my husband was like, I'm not doing anything on social media for the month of July, and asked me to do it with him. But for work, that's hard for me. But I've set a limit, like 15 minutes from the time frame of 9 to 5, like when I work. And that has been so healthy for me, because there were days too when I would like wake up, turn my alarm off on my phone, and like the first app you habitually go to is Instagram. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not healthy. And you're right. Like, your day is so different when you do that. So, the one other thing I want to ask you about is, your church sounds awesome. Like, you have just talked about so much how they have equipped you, poured into you, allowed you opportunities to pour into other people, like how much you've grown. Church of the Highlands, I think, is where you said you go. Tell me just what you love about them, what you have found to be a benefit of the community there. Like, if someone is struggling with that and they're listening to this, like, they're struggling to get plugged in, not really sure that they want to do that, they're kind of afraid of vulnerability and all of that in a church or a small group setting, like, what would you say to them to encourage them to do that?
Yeah, I fully believe that the local church is the hope of the world, because it's the boots on the ground. It's the community that we all need. And I think growing up, I didn't fully understand that. But once I got involved at my church, and I had to take like a lot of risks too, of going by myself to small groups and things like that, but it was so worth it. But yeah, I fully support and believe in the local church, and believe that everyone should be plugged in. And one of our pastors, even this Sunday, was talking about how dangerous this cultural movement of like anti-churches, where it's just like, well, it's just me and Jesus, and we're fine by ourselves, and we can just, you know, do it at home and all this stuff, which it's fine if that's a way to get started. But I still think that it's so important to get plugged into community, because scripture is incredible and we need scripture, and that's what I preach. But at the same time, you can't do it alone. And like, you need scripture plus community. And that's really how you end up overcoming everything, is getting involved in small groups in a local church. And it's hard, because I know the church is human and people have hurt each other in the church, and churches fail and fall all the time. But it's just so important to get rooted in a biblically sound church, where you know that their beliefs match up with the Bible and all of that kind of stuff. And my church has just done an incredible job of not only helping us find community, but it's a large church, but because we have small groups, it makes it so much smaller. So it doesn't feel like a big church. And then we have a network of churches called ARC. It's the Association of Related Churches. So even it's non-denominational, but no matter what denomination you are, if you're looking for a church, I would check out their website. Or I know there's a lot of radio, like Christian radio stations, that will have like local church directories if you're like not sure which church to plug into. But for me, when I was in college, since I like still believed in God, I just wasn't really committed or following God. I like tried a bunch of churches and went to all these different churches, and ultimately the church I ended up at is the one that worked best for me. But yeah, just try churches and get plugged in and take risks of going by yourself and going to a small group and opening up to somebody. And if it doesn't work the first couple of times, if let's say you go to a church and you feel like you don't fit in at that church or something doesn't click, try another one. Don't give up. Because it's just so important to have community and to get plugged in. And the best way to really get plugged in at a church is to volunteer at the church and get involved in their Bible studies or small groups, whatever you call it at your church. And that's off what I'm doing when going to Cincinnati. Is I've been praying for ever since I graduated college and got involved at my current church, I've been praying for there to be a life-giving church in Cincinnati. And a couple years ago, I found out that someone was planting a life-giving church in Cincinnati. And I was like, okay, I feel like this is my call to get home back to Cincinnati. And so part of the reason I'm moving back there is to help with that local church and be part of it and make a difference in that city. And the other part is because I have family and friends there. But yeah, that's what I would say. It's just so important. And I know it can be easy to get offended by the church, but just find the one that works with for you and where you feel like you're loved, and find a life-giving church too. If they're not life-giving, then keep trying until you find one that is.
Yeah. And there are so many of them. Yeah. And I have a similar story to you, like grew up in a super traditional church, but like joy is not one of the things that I would like categorize being in that church, you know? So that's kind of the outlook of church that I had. And there are so many churches that like, that is their primary goal, is to like show you that once you understand and know the gospel, like your life will have joy and you can do that in community, which is awesome. Last question. This is my fun question for you, but tell me something that you're loving. Like this can be a product, another podcast, a book you're reading, music, whatever you want to share, but what's something that like you are just loving and in the current season of life and busyness and all of that?
Yeah. So I guess there's like a few things I'm loving. I've like been loving, there's several books that like I love reading. So I read books all the time, but one of my favorite books that has been like a game changer this year and the season for me is a book called Come Matter Here by Hannah Brencher.
And I'm about to start that. I want to hear your thoughts on it.
It's so good. And then the other book that really helped me, just because when I was like dealing with this kind of waiting season, is It's Not Supposed to Be This Way by Lisa Turkers. Those two books have just really met me in that season. So those are my kind of like semi-fun, but just like really beneficial books that like helped me where I was in my like just recent season. Something else fun that I've been loving lately, it's not like a Christian thing, but it's Jonas Brothers are back. And so
preach. Oh my gosh.
Loving the new album. Like all my childhood dreams are coming true. I'm going to the Jonas Brothers concert this fall. Like living out my life.
I'm so jealous. No, I feel the same way.
Get tickets, but I'm so excited just to like, they were like my favorite band as a kid. And so like, there's so many bands, but they're like one of my definite favorites. So super excited for that. And I've been just jamming to their album all the time.
It really is so good. I'm like, I also am on my drive. I drive an hour to work and like on the days I work in the office, but like the whole time I'm like Jonas Brothers. That's what I want. It's so good.
I haven't gotten tired of it.
All right. And where can we find you on Insta? I know you're super active on Instagram. Do you use other social media platforms? Where's the best way to connect with you?
Yeah. So Instagram's definitely my favorite. You can find me at Court Hope Wilson. I did instead of Courtney, I did Court just because it was shorter. And my close friends call me Court. You can find me there. I love connecting with people. You can also follow the Trailblazer Journals. It's just at the Trailblazer Journals. And then I'm on Facebook and Twitter too. I'm not as active over there, but you can find me on there as well if you search my name, Courtney Hope Wilson, or Twitter is the same as my Instagram handle. But yeah, I love connecting over there. And then you can always find me on my website too, CourtneyHopeWilson.com.
Awesome. I will link all of that stuff because I know, like, I love following you just for the daily encouragement, seeing what the Lord is seeing in you. So that's really good. I want to give that to our listeners too. All right. Well, that so much wisdom. I'm like so pumped for this to go out for our listeners to hear. You just thank you for being here and for your heart and just for sharing with us like what your journey has looked like and then also what the Lord is doing in you, because that it's just so cool to see that and to see you kind of on the other side of things. I think that's really encouraging for people who are like in the trenches right now to hear from someone who has leaned in to that season and is on the other side. So thank you. I'm really appreciative of your heart.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I hope that people leave encouraged and just knowing that they can be met right where they are in their season.
Wow, so many good practical tips. I love that about Court's book, It Is Written. And I really encourage you guys to head over to the show notes and get yourself a copy of that. Dive into it. Do the hard work of healing the lies and replacing them with God's truth in your own life so that you have the ability to pour into other people just like Court is doing, because there are few things that are as life-giving as that. So I'm thankful that you tuned in to this week's episode of the You Are Made For More podcast. Love that you're here. Love that you are in this with us. And I just encourage you to keep up with our blog. Follow us on social media at Abundant Life YM to stay up to date with all the stuff that we post, all the resources we put out for you guys. And we are really excited for just the end of summer and the episodes that we're going to bring you guys in there. So I'm Sammy Gallo, your host of the You Are Made For More podcast, and I will see you guys next time.